If you have your Bible tonight, and I hope you do, Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter number 48. The Bible says in verse number 1, He said, "Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stayed themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is His name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth. And I showed them, I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee, before it came to pass. I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, Mine idol hath done them, and my graven image, and my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. Thou heardest not, knewest not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not open, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and wast called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should I my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am He. I am the first. I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I called unto them, they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves. And hear, which among them hath declared these things, the Lord hath loved him. The Lord will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him. He shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I, and now the Lord God and His Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments! Exclamation point. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand of the, and the offspring of thy bowels, like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans. With a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob, and they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts, and he caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." I want to preach tonight for just a minute, Brother Kevin, if God be my help on this thought. Have I got your attention yet? Have I got your attention yet? As we see this and we see the Word of God, God begins to speak to them. And we got to realize at this point in time, Isaiah is writing to the nation of Israel, right in Jacob, right in Israel. And he's writing to them about the time that they're about to get out of captivity, or about to leave captivity. God's about to give deliverance. Amen. Praise God. And do you remember the night when you got in there, the day, the morning, the evening, whatever it was, the hour, when God Almighty began to deal with your heart, and you began to look down into the very depths of your soul, through the imprisonment of your body and the flesh, where the old devil and Satan and flesh and this world had you, and praise God, all of a sudden, there was a light at the end of the tunnel, you could see sweet deliverance, praise God, and you knew it wasn't from you, and you knew it wasn't from the people around you, you knew it wasn't from no relationship you had on this earth, but it was coming from the portals of glory. The light was starting to shine. Praise God. Hey, and glory be to God. It was a shining on you. I pray you. Hey, young, you're just jump up was your time. Amen. And we can see this is what's happening to the nation of Israel. Praise God. Isaiah's telling, listen, I said, you've been through some things. You've been through some situations. You've been in captivity. It didn't look like there was any sign of relief. But praise God, here come God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God comes along and he's like he's speaking through Isaiah and he says, have I got your attention yet? Amen. Can I have your attention? Have I got your attention? I believe what God's doing today and ever, lost what we live in, he's trying to get our attention. Amen. And I think he's achieving his goal. Amen. I think God's beginning to get people's attention. They're beginning to say, praise God, you know what? There's something to this Bible. There's something to God and godliness. There's something to the people of God. There's something about them people that have a promise and a hope. Amen. I'm glad I got both. Amen. I got the promise, praise God. When I got the promise, I got the hope. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. As a little old fella, I told you years ago, I used to understand that. Praise God. But I'm glad Granddaddy'd wave that old white handkerchief, boy, just tears running down his face, a flowing, ripping on his that old white shirt that he had wore, praise God, to preach. And he'd shake that thing, wave it to glory, and say, glory be to God, they got hope. Amen. Faith with expectation. Looking for another world, praise God, another place. Amen. But God begins to ask them if he has their attention. And God begins to give them here a little bit of a rebuke. Amen. For where they were to where they ought to be. And God begins to bring them through. You know, God brings you through stuff so he can bring you out of it. Right. Amen. Have you ever thought it that way? Now, I've been preaching for the last few weeks on the perspective. Our perspective on things. How we look at it. And if we look at it, Brother Austin, as a God Almighty is in control of everything. All of it. Amen. There's none of it taking him by surprise. He knows where we're at. He knows what's going on with us. He knows what we need. You say, well, preacher, it just don't seem like everything's going my way. Amen. Hey, listen. When things don't seem, Brother Rex, like they're going your way, a lot of times that's when it's going God's way. Amen. That's when God is using you, praise God, in a place where he puts you for his glory. It's a place where we can get rooted, a place where we can grow, a place where we can be established, praise God, for his glory. Amen. In the good things of God. So God begins to rebuke them. And he said, to those that will listen. Amen. Have you ever thought about that? I was sitting up there this morning and studying. I was thinking about that. And I thought, you know what? Sometimes we just don't listen. Amen. Sometimes, don't say a word. Sometimes we just don't listen. Amen. But we got, what happens is we don't listen. People try to tell us. People that's older, more mature, people that know. They try to tell us, but we don't listen. So we go along our pernicious ways, and when we get to the end of ourselves, we can't figure out what to do and how to get back, somebody comes along and said, I told you so. Do you ever get that? That's what God's doing here. Say, listen, said, I've had somebody tell it. They've been preaching it from the mountaintop, been preaching in the valley, been telling you all along, but you just wouldn't listen. You know what God's telling Brother Jeff? He said, I told you so, but you wouldn't listen. God had to give rebuke. Hey, we get that quite often, don't we? Amen. We get rebukes ourselves, right, God? Somebody says, well, I tried to tell you, just wouldn't listen. My wife does that quite often. But I got the cure for that, though, because the ear doctor said it's that I just can't hear women's voices. Amen. That's because I'm listening to God, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen, glory to God. But he said, he gave him a rebuke. He said, hey, listen, I tried to tell you, keep you out. You know God doesn't ever do, now listen to me carefully. God never does anything to you that'll hurt you. Amen. He's always got your best interest at heart. Amen. Always does. So he'll lead us. You know why we end up in so many messes? Because we don't listen to God. Oh, me. Amen. We got to start listening to God. We got to be, but so God don't rebuke us. So we don't have to come back like he did Israel and say, hey, listen, I told you so. Cost them some years in captivity. Amen. Before God could bring them out. Amen. Praise God. He warned them, praise God, of the things coming. He warned them of their sin. He told me, he said, the sins that you're in, praise God, he said, it's going to overshadow, it's going to disrupt your lives. In verse number 3, he said, I declared the former things from the beginning. Now, I like that. I got to think about that. God didn't say, hey, look, you know, I waited till you got way out where you, till you got waded way out there and you couldn't swim back. And then I said, you know what? You should have listened. I got something to tell you. But he didn't say, God said, hey, from the very beginning, I was trying to point you the right way. Amen. That's what God's trying to do now. From the very beginning, praise God, he's trying to point us in the right way. He's trying to show us the right direction. Amen. But you know what happened? Israel, Bible said, Israel was hard-headed. Amen. Now, I don't know there's nobody in here that's hard-headed. You should. Right? Amen. But he said they were hard-headed. Amen. I tried to tell you. He said, because I knew that thou art obstinate. That means hard-headed. I mean, that means hard. Hardened. Amen. It means unpierceable. Amen. I was trying to tell you, but there wasn't nothing getting through. You ever feel like that? Sometimes, praise God, somebody, you're trying to tell people and it just don't seem like it's like water on a duck's back. It just keeps running off. Amen. They not listening because they don't want to hear. And he said, you're hard-headed. But not hard-headed, but he said, you're hard-hearted. That's why you're hard-headed. When your heart gets hard, your head gets hard. Say that real fast 3 times. Amen. I said, when your heart gets hard and hardened, praise God, your head gets hard. We get to think, well, you know, what's the use? But I say, for the glory of God, that's what's the use. But God rebukes them. He said, because of your sin, praise God, because you've been hard-headed, you've been hard-hearted, and he said, you got a stiff neck. Have you ever thought about when God mentions a stiff-necked people, what's he trying to reference? He's trying to reference there, Brother Rick, that he can't turn your head. Amen? You get a hard heart, you get a hard head, and you get a stiff neck. Amen? So you're just going your way. Amen? I've tried that, going my way. Amen? And I went way out there my way. You say, preacher, I wouldn't have said that. Well, praise God, you ought to. It's called confessing your sins. Amen. Hey, God already knows. Just confess time, praise God, you just took off on your own without God, without thinking, praise God, about Him, and see where you ended up. And finally, praise God, because your hard heart, your hard head, and your stiff neck, God got you out there somewhere where He broke your heart, praise God, softened your head, amen, that's where you'd listen, and He turned your neck. Got you looking in the right direction. Now, people don't like preaching like yesterday. I'll just be honest. They don't like it because it hits us home where we live. But God's got a rebuke for His people. You know why God rebukes us so often in the Word of God? Why He rebuked Israel so often in the Word of God? Because He loved them. Amen. He loved them. He loves us, praise God. So He's constantly trying to tell us the truth. I don't know about you. I don't want somebody to lie to me. Amen. Hey, I can go anywhere and somebody pat me and tell me how good I am. Me knowing I'm just as rotten as can be. Amen. But he said they was in their sin. They was hard headed and stiff necked. And he said thy brow is brass. Have you ever thought about what that means? I pondered on that today, Austin. I prayed and I said, Lord God, what are you talking about? Their brow is brass. And I got to thinking that I've been having to do a lot of thinking here lately. Amen. I've been thinking about me. And I've been thinking about my God. And I've been thinking about where God would have me. I've been thinking about what God would have me to do. And because I've been thinking so much, you know what it's caused? It's caused me to wrinkle my brow. Amen. You get to thinking real hard on things and it brings it. He said, listen. He said, their brow is as brass. He said, their brow is hard. He said, I can't even get them to think upon the goodness of God that they might be saved. Amen. but I'm glad I can wrinkle the brow. I'm glad I can think upon my life. I can think upon my actions and my reactions and how it affects not only me, but everybody around me. Amen. And God said they wouldn't listen. Said they were, they wasn't even willing to consider what God had for them. Amen. He said, hey, from the beginning, said, I've declared it. Would you just listen? God rebukes them. Same way He does you and I. Amen. You say, well, preacher, God don't ever bother me. He said, without chastening, you're bastards and not sons. If God didn't ever rebuke me, God didn't ever chasten me, I'd be beginning to wonder about my salvation. It'd make me wonder whose side I was on. Amen. Because if you're on the Lord's side, He'll chasten you, praise God. He won't let you go about your business without Him, praise the Lord. Amen. But He'll come to where you are and He'll correct you. He'll chasten you. He'll love on you, praise God. And He'll show you His way. Amen. Praise the Lord. So He begins to rebuke them. Amen. And then He begins to tell them at the end of this rebuke of what it was all about. He said, I had to put you through through rebuke. He said, I had to rebuke you. But He said, I had to put you through a refining process. Amen. Have you ever been through a refining process from the Lord? Amen. Oh me. Praise the Lord. I've been through several refining processes from the Lord. Now the captivity is ending. It's coming to a close. God's going to offer a reprieve to the people of Israel. Okay? So you follow me? You see where we're at? People in captivity. God Almighty's rebuking. And then God Almighty is through the captivity. He's refining. Amen. He's molding them, making them, praise God, getting them ready for something big. He's putting them through a time of refining. He said, behold, verse 10, I have refined thee, but not with silver. In other words, He said, I ain't put some kind of garnish on you. He said, I ain't dressed you up, make you all pretty and shiny. Hello? Amen. He said, but praise God, He said, listen, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. He said, I put you through the fire, praise God, so get rid of all the imperfections, all the impurities, so you could come out on the other side shouting the glory of God. Amen. Hey, Brother Billy, I thank God every time He chastens me. Every time God dealt with my heart, praise God, I say glory to God. I didn't always like it, but I thank God for it. Amen. Praise God. God won't know. He said, have I got your attention? Can I have your attention? He said, I've gotten you through a refining process. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 7. Remember what Peter says? 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 7. He said, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found, now watch this, unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He's what He's saying. Peter said here the same thing the Lord's saying. Praise God, I went through a refining process. God burned out all the dross. He got rid of all the junk. He got rid of all the impurities, praise God, so I come out being what God would have me to be. After all, youngins, God bless your sweetheart. Ain't that the way we're supposed to finish up? Amen. That's what we ought to desire, the way we ought to desire to finish up. You say, preacher, I started off all wrong. So what? Praise God. Get on board with God Almighty and finish right. Amen. I hear people all the time. I had a young lady here a while back try to tell me, she said, well, preacher, you just don't know what kind of home life I had. You just don't know what kind of mom and daddy I had. You just don't know. I said, yeah, I don't know what you had, but praise God, I know the God of heaven that's able to save your soul. And if you say you're saved, praise God, it's time to just buck up and praise God. Amen. God brought you through all that mess, but He didn't tell you to continue in that mess. Amen. I said, you look for the avenue that God's got for you to proceed. Amen. To rise above that, praise God. To rise to a place and a plane where God would have you to be. Amen. We can't sometimes get caught up in what we used to be, how we grew up. I want to say, praise God, there ain't nothing wrong with how a whole lot of us grew up. We had a mom and daddy that loved us. We had a mom and daddy that bust our hind end. We had grandmas and grandpas praise God, take us to church and show us a living God. Glory, hallelujah, thank God for my heritage. Amen. Praise God. Glad somebody come along. Show me the way. I'll never forget when we moved to West Virginia, I was third grade. Down my dad, right down below us, after about the third time we had moved, praise God, Miss Myrtle was down there living, my neighbor, good godly woman. Boy, she took us little boys under her wing, and she loved us, praise God, in so many ways we had to like them. Amen. Showed us favor. Made us fudge and peanut butter candy, praise God. And loved us and told us about Jesus. Took us to church and taught us the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Made me learn the 23rd Psalm. I said, I can't do that. She said, yes, you can. Amen. She said, just say it and believe it. And she took that, started breaking it down. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. She said, point at yourself. Glory be to God. As a little old third, fourth grader, praise God, I didn't think much on that. But praise God, point at myself because Miss Myrtle said too. And said, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Glory be to God. I'm glad I can stand here before you tonight and I can point at myself and say, glory to God. Thank you, Miss Myrtle. The Lord is my shepherd. Praise God. Amen. Makes a difference. Refining, praise God. Amen. They had learned. Number one, they had learned to turn from idols. Praise God. They said, hey, get away from the idols. Get away from the ungodliness. Get away from anything that will distract you from the Lord. And I was traveling the other day here there about business and going between here and yonder. And I got to notice in a place and they had a great old big boat in the yard. Bigger than I could ever imagine having. Beside that boat, they had a great old big camper. Pretty thing. Amen. better than the first house I lived in. Amen. Beside that camper, they had a couple of jet skis back then beside it. So you have a big old boat and a big old camper and a big old two big old jet skis. And up here in the edge of the yard in the shed, they had a couple of big old four-wheelers sitting on a trailer. They was loaded up, ready to go. And I got to thinking, how blessed they are to have all this thing. But you know what happened? On Saturday night, Friday night, they load them up. They pile them up and line them up. And they go down to the lake. And praise God, they pull them things out on the water. And know what they do? They worship their gods on Sunday morning. Say, whoa, preacher, I wouldn't have went there. Amen. I know it. I wouldn't. I wouldn't either, not on Sunday morning. Amen. I praise God on Friday evening and Saturday night. Praise God. But when it comes Sunday morning, you know what happens? We got idols. Say, preacher, I never thought it like that. Well, it's truth. We make those our idols. We worship those. Amen. I don't know about you, I'd rather be here on Sunday morning. I'd rather be here on Sunday night. I'd rather be praising God on Wednesday night. Amen. Praise God. Why? Because I've got priorities. Amen. But I got to thank you. Bless their heart. But you know what? They probably don't even realize it. That they're making these things their idols. But the sad part is, and I mean there's a lot of dollars sitting in that yard. Amen. A lot of dollars sitting in that yard. And but just makes you wonder, praise God, what about their soul? What would prosper man if he had the whole world and lose his own soul? Amen. And what would man give in exchange for his soul? When they pull up one day, as we preached our Sunday night on that judgment seat of Christ, if they even make it there, they may be standing for that great white throne judgment. But God, through a refining fire, prayer, refining process, praise God, He said He began to take away their idols. Amen. They didn't recognize them no more. And they began to trust in the Lord only. See, before they was trusting the Lord when it was convenient. Have you ever thought about around you and your community, your family, your people, the people you know? How many people trust the Lord when it's convenient? Huh? How many people you know that trust the Lord when it's convenient? Any other time, you can't even talk to them about the Lord. They don't want to hear it. It makes me wonder. My God's more than just a convenient God. My God is the Lord of my life. Amen. The keeper of my soul, the refiner, praise God, of my being. Amen. Praise God. But what they did, he said, they put up resistance. Amen. They put up resistance. See, the fire will burn. The fire burns. But when you put up resistance, the fire burns and it makes things hard. And I thought about this. If you're cooking a steak, Brother Austin, I know you like steak. You're cooking a steak and you put that thing on a good hot grill and you leave one side down too long, it burns and it gets hard. Right? Amen. I'm going to preach a message one time. I got a thought I've had for a while on burnt on one side. Amen. But that's another message for another day. But if you put that thing on there and it gets too hot, it stays for too long, it gets burned on one side and it makes that side hard. Amen. And then you flip it over, amen. But once that thing gets too hard, it doesn't retain the juices. The flavor's gone. Amen. You just got an old piece of charred something. Now I know some people, my mother-in-law, it's the only way she'll eat hers. It's got to be burnt to a crisp. Amen. That's just Miss Penny. It's like taking the tongue out of your shoe and eating it. Chewing on it. Ain't no good. But God said that's what people, when he refines you, praise God, if you stand there and you resist, and you keep resisting, praise God, and you get burnt, praise God, to where there's no good, there's no life, there's no feeling, there's no taste left. Amen. But if you flip that thing, now they say in order to have a good steak, you get the grill real hot and you throw that thing on there and you let it sear for just a minute on one side and flip it to the other side. Now some people say you're not supposed to flip a steak twice. But if you don't get that sear on one side and then flip it to the other side, let it sear, that's the way to preserve a steak because it seals that the juices in it. And then you can cook it to where you'd like for it to be. Amen, that nice medium with a good pink in the middle. Mighty fine. Big old baked tater and salad. Glory be to God. Now we're talking. Amen. That's what God's trying to tell us. He said, I don't want you to be burned on one side. He said, I don't want you to be burnt tough and raw and hard. He said, praise God, I want to purify you, praise God. Put something in you that'll make you fit. Amen. That'll make you tender. Amen. He purifies you. And it keeps you tender. That's what God intends to do. That's what the refining process do. So not only did he say that God rebukes them, and then God says, I'm refining them before I bring them out. But he said, I'm doing the rebuking and the refining, praise God, so that I can send you and put you through a renewing process. Amen. God wants us to be like brand new. Amen. Glory to God. He don't want you to continue the way you used to be. Hey, let me just give you this right quickly. The Lord brought it through my mind. I'll just say it. God don't want you to be the person you was yesterday. You say, well, preacher, you don't know because yesterday I had a pretty good day in the Lord. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. God bless you. But he says, praise God. God wants you to have a little bit better day today. And an even better day tomorrow. Amen. You see what's happening? Our perspective. We're not looking far enough ahead to what God's going to do tomorrow for me. Amen. Rex, this time next week, I hope I'm not what I am today. And I hope, praise God, with the help of the Lord, me and you both will be better today, next week than we are today. Amen. We can come alongside each other and bring each other along, praise God, with the help of the Lord through a refining process, through a renewing process. God says, he said he's going to make things new. Not going to leave them the way they were. He says, all ye, verse 14, assemble yourselves and hear. Which among you hath declared these things? The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon. His arm shall be on the Chaldeans. But look at verse 15. He said, I have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him. And he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye here near unto me. Hear ye this, I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. Now listen to what he says. And now the Lord God, and his Spirit has sent me. He said, thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, that leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. There's that exclamation point. He said, if you would have only listened. You ever think about what you wouldn't have had to went through if you'd listened to God? Boy, I tell you, I look back on my life now. And a lot of people say, well, preacher, if I could live my life over, I wouldn't change a thing. Well, you're an idiot. Amen. If I could live my life over, praise God, there's so much in my life I'd change. I'd do things different, praise God. I wouldn't make the same stupid mistakes if the Lord would help me that I made in this life growing up, praise God, unto this day. Amen. I'd strive with all my heart to do better for the glory of the Lord. Wouldn't you? Amen. Praise God. People tell me, I probably wouldn't change a thing. I press God, I would. Amen. I'd try to be a child of God like I've never been before. You know what, though? I guess we ought to start that today, oughtn't we? So we can continue into the future. Praise God. Without making the same mistakes. That's why we try to tell these young'uns, tell these people, tell other folks. Amen. Not so they don't make the same mistakes we do. But they will not listen. Amen. That's why they get rebuked. But God says to them, that here he declares new things. Now if you look back in Isaiah chapter 43, just a few chapters. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18, the Bible says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Amen. Now he's dealing with that, the things they've been through, things that the dealings with the Chaldeans and all the hardship they've had. He said, just forget about that, put it all behind you, Brother Robert, and just go to looking ahead. Amen. To a new and a better day. And he said, verse 19, he said, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amen. God said, I'm going to do things different. Well, I'm going to do things in a new way. He said, you've been this way. You've tried your way. He said, now do it my way. Amen. God's way is not our ways. Praise God. His way is a better way. God says, I'll send you deliverance. Look at verse 20. He said, go ye forth to Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing declare ye. Tell this. Utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. Amen. He said, praise God. He said, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to deliver you. Praise God. He said, just go out of here shouting and singing and praising and telling it everywhere you go. You remember the day you got saved? Amen. You remember you couldn't wait to call somebody. Praise God, I want to tell you, I got saved, praise God. God saved me today. God saved me today. God saved me this morning. Went to the altar today. Whatever God done, however God done in your life. Amen. So God says, he said, hey, go come out of here of praising God. Deliverance has come. And he says, as we're delivered by the deliverer, amen, and as you begin to obey God, notice what he does for you. Now, did you notice what I said? I said, as you realize deliverance is from God, it's not from somebody, it's not from self. We can't deliver ourselves. We can't save ourselves. If we can't save ourselves, we surely can't keep ourselves. So all deliverance comes from the Lord. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. And as we begin to obey God, that's what we do when we come, when we realize that God saved us. He brought us. Amen. God did that. And so we begin to obey Him. We begin to listen to Him. Because He is our God. The Bible says He begins to, number one, He begins to lead us. He said, thus saith the Lord, verse 17, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Amen. God said, hey, listen, said, when you begin to listen to me, He said, I lead you in the way you should go. That's pretty straight up. I don't have to have a theological professor to explain that to me. Amen. Brother Rex, that's so easy a child can understand it. Even a child in the Lord. That when we begin to realize the deliverance of God, we begin to accept what He's done, we begin to obey Him. And praise God, He said He begins to lead us in the way that we should go. And that's not only always the way that we would go, but it's the way we should go. Praise God. Amen. And then it said, not only does He deliver us in a way that we should go, but look at verse 18. He said, oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. He said, it wouldn't have been so hard on you if you'd listened to me. He said, I had a plan and a purpose for you, but you had to take the roundabout way to get to it, and I had to bring you back to the starting point so you could take off again. He said, then had thy peace been as a river. Amen. He said, if you'd obeyed me, he said, as I begin to lead you, praise God, he said, you'd have had a peace flowing like a river. He said, had a peace flowing in your heart, praise God. A peace that passes understanding. A peace that the world has no way of knowing. God said, if you'd just listen to me. I'm talking about renewing from the Lord. Amen. So if you'd just follow it. He said, in coming, and then after the peace is a river, praise God, comes the righteousness as a wave of the sea. He said, not only would you have peace, praise God, but there would have been a rightness in you. A righteousness from God. He said it would overflow you, praise God, like a sea. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but if you've ever went down to the ocean, it comes in and it goes out. And it comes in and it goes out. And that's always amazed me. It's just like it's in a big old bowl and God's up there going like this or something. I don't know. Amen. I ain't ever been figured out how that goes out and it comes in. It goes out, and certain times of day it goes out, and certain times of day it comes way on in. They say it's nothing to do with the lunar and the moon and all that. I don't know. I don't know that. Praise God. I think it's God. Amen. I just attribute it all to God. But if you get out there in those waves come in. If you ain't careful, you get out too far. When it goes back out, it takes you with it. But glory be to God, when those waves come in, if you're there and it's a hot day and you're up to, like I get, about up to your ankles, and a good wave comes in and gets up to about your knees, amen, on a good hot day, say, boy, that feels good. Amen. Amen. I think, pray God, that's what happens. God says, hey, listen, said, I'll overflow you in the righteousness of God. Amen. It'll come in like a wave and it'll give you that cool and satisfying affection from God. Praise God in His righteousness. The righteousness is a wave. It comes in. Praise God. Amen. Bless His holy name. That righteousness, He says, I'll give you. And then he tells them, he said, you don't have to worry about it. He said, because I'm going to meet your needs. He said, in this renewing process, he said, I'm going to take care of all your needs. He said, you need this, I'll take care of it. You need that, I'll take care of it. You say, preacher, God don't do that. God takes care of us every day. He feeds the little birds. They neither sow nor no reap or sow, praise God. But praise God, He takes care of every day. They don't have barns for store, but He feeds them every day. Amen. Every day. They don't have no way to do for themselves, but God does for them. But He meets their needs according to His purpose. Amen. Praise God. He says here in verse number 20, he's talking about God, and he's talking about how he said, tell this and utter it to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord redeemed the Redeemer, His servant Jacob. He said, He's the one that, praise God, made the difference in their life. He's the one that brought this thing to a He's the one that gave them the opportunity, praise God, to know Him and that free pardon of sin. And He's the one that's able to meet their needs. He's the one that's able to do it for them, praise God, when they can't do it for themselves. He brings that goodness of God. In verse 21, he says, And they thirsted not when He led them through the deserts. Amen. He said, when they was out there in that waste, howling wilderness, he said, they didn't want for nothing. God took care of it out there. There was nobody else to ask. Nobody else to supply the need, but said, God did. Amen. He caused the water to flow out of the rock for them. Amen. God's able to meet that need. I'm talking about a renewing process from God. He said, He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. He said He gave that opportunity. He gave that priest. He said He gave that blood, Lord Jesus Christ, so that we might have a renewed spirit within our souls. Praise God. The renewing of God. He gave rebuke. He put us through refining. But praise God, when it come around, He said, I'm going to give you renewing in the Lord. That's what God wants to do for us today, young, and He wants to give us renewing your to His people. Because in verse 22, He said, "There is no peace, saith the Lord." Boy, if you stopped right there, we'd be of all men most miserable. If we took that there and said, "There is no peace," you know, you can take the Word of God and make it say almost anything you want to say if you take it out of context. Amen. But if we left that out, "There is no peace, saith the Lord," we'd be all men most miserable. But He didn't stop there. He said, "Unto the wicked." Amen. Praise God. He said, "Listen, so there's no peace for wicked people. There's no peace for people that's outside of God and godliness. There's no peace there. They're seeking it. They're looking for it. They're trying to find happiness." Amen. "Without joy. And without joy, there's no peace. But when we get joy from the Lord, we get peace, which brings us happiness. It makes you happy, puts a smile on your face. Joy down in your heart, praise God. It becomes real." Amen. And no matter how weak you are, praise God, we got to realize that we can lean on Him. Amen. In this renewed personality that God gives us, they realized that they could lean upon the Lord. Listen to what's said back in verse 2, and I'm done. He said, "For they called themselves of the holy city, and they stayed themselves upon the Lord God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is His name." When we begin to lean on the Lord and Him only, then we get that peace that passes all understanding. Amen. We come out of the rebuke of God. We come through the refining process of God. We come to that renewing hand of God in love. Amen. And then we just lean on Him the more and trust on us the less. Amen. Realizing, praise God, that God Almighty is the one. And He says, "Hey, listen, can I have your attention just a minute? I brought you through, I rebuked you. I refined you." He said, "Praise God, and I done all that, Brother Jeff, so that I can renew you." Amen. "So I bring you through a place of renewing in the soul of man." Amen. To restore you, praise God, to where God would have us to be for His glory. Amen.